A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
AJ Styles has turned heel. Open brackets, question mark, close brackets. It's a bit of a weird one, this one, but he has turned heel, I think. Welcome to the WrestleTalk Podcast. I'm Pete Quinnell, filling in for Tempo. He's gone back to Canada land. And I'm joined by Sati Niangi.
Yes.
Wahoo.
Well, happy Sati Day, ladies and gentlemen. I was told that I'll be working with Luke Owen. I know we make jokes that there's so many bold people at WrestleTalk office, but this is not Luke Owen. I'm not disappointed, although he was on my bucket list to work with, and I thought I completed it for 2023. No, it's a continue for 2024. But what's causing all of this is AJ Styles potentially came back and turned the heel. He's jacked, baby. He's got the beef. They've all been taking that TKO spinach.
He is. Massive. Now, good God, AJ Styles has put on some pounds in the best way. But before we get to that return, let's talk about the main event.
Hello, Pete. Thanks for coming, Pete.
Hi.
Last minute draft.
You're welcome.
Last minute draft. So thank you. People who don't know that Pete works so hard on WrestleTalk and he does a lot of things, yeah? So I want you guys to appreciate the fact that he said, yeah, to come and fill in the show for me. So thank you so much, man. I just want people to know that and give his gratitude and platitudes.
Thanks, man.
Yes.
Let's talk about the main event before we talk about the AJ return, because it came at the end of the main event, which was Randy Orton versus Jimmy Uso, which have been kind of teased throughout the show. There's various backstage segments that lead up to this, but I thought the match itself here was fine. It was a TV main event. That's what it was.
It was.
Vintage Orton, etc. As it looked like, Orton was lining up for an RKO, which he definitely would have hit. Solo Sikoa's music hit, distracted Orton. Then before Solo could get to the ring, LA Knight's music hit, and he came out and attacked Solo, which allowed Randy to stop being distracted, I suppose. He then hit the RKO and Jimmy and got the win. The match was fine.
It was a match.
It was exactly
it was a serviceable match.
Yeah, it was exactly what you'd expect if you said Randy Orton versus Jimmy Uso SmackDown. You go, all right, that's what that is. But then all the interesting stuff came after the match, because we had this brawl going on with Knight and Sikoa on the outside, and then you had Orton and Jimmy on the inside. Reigns then comes out, because Roman Reigns returned on this episode of SmackDown, lest we forget, and he comes out and attacks Knight from behind. And then I thought, very uncharacteristically for Roman, we're just kind of staring at Orton for a while, and the crowd were like, oh, boo, Roman, we don't like you. And then he kind of looks around at the crowd, and then he just gets in the ring and starts attacking Randy, which I was like, that's very out of character for Roman. Like, he's very calculated, standoffish, he'll get his goons to do stuff first. But he just went head into this one, which is very strange. But then the numbers game overcame Orton and Knight, because it was Roman, Jimmy, and Solo beating down the two of them. Yes. Until the music hit for AJ Styles. And he wasn't on the ramp. He came out next to the ring and straight hit a phenomenal forearm onto Roman Reigns. And then he started doing the brawl. The babyfaces stand tall. Yay! That's the end of SmackDown, everyone. Except it isn't. Because then Styles gets LA Knight and smacks him with a lariat. And then gets out the ring and walks off. And you'd think that's where the show ends. But it's not. Because the Bloodline just kind of let him walk past and just be like, huh, AJ, what are you doing? Despite the fact that AJ just attacked them seconds earlier. But that's okay. AJ leaves, and then Knight kind of gets back to his feet while the commentator's like, well, here's what's happening next week, guys. Look out for that 8-woman tag. And then Orton's music plays. And then they're just kind of staring off with the bloodline, and then the show ends. Which was weird. So it was like, because I feel like what they were trying to do was, wow, we're so shocked that AJ's just attacked LA Knight. Oh my god, guys. But then they kind of undid their shock by being suddenly not very shocked about it seconds later because we have a card to run down for next week. And it kind of, it left it on a little bit of a wet fart at the end. Yeah, just like that. Which I thought was a bit strange. What were your thoughts about it, Sat?
I agree on the pacing issue, but I'm still hooked because at the end of the day, we won't give him much. I do feel like had AJ come back, you know, did a phenomenal forearm on LA Knight, that would have been even more confusing because how he left the company or how he left for a bit was he was taken out by the bloodline, specifically Solo Sikoa. Mm-hmm. So it made sense for him to come back and tie up loose ends, but also to show that he has no allegiance to anyone. I think that's what it was. I think that's what he was trying to state. It's kind of like, yeah, I took out the bloodline, but this LA Knight guy, he took my spot at Fastlane. Is it Fastlane with John Cena? And it was Fast, no? Okay, it was Fastlane. That's how you call it. Fastlane. with John Cena. Then he took, and then he had a crown jewel match. That groundswell of rubbing shoulders with John Cena, which AJ Styles knows about, it led to the groundswell support for him to go to crown jewel against Roman Reigns. That should have been his crown jewel payday. You know what I'm saying? So probably in his mind, LA Knight, you're all in this spot because I was out. Now I'm back. You're too big for your boots. And he didn't touch him as well. LA Knight did actually go between him and trying to jaw jack with the bloodline. So AJ's kind of like, this guy doesn't belong in this ring with me. This is the house that I built. You didn't build this house, huh? I built this house. But there's many theories going on. But the one great thing is we're talking about AJ Styles. Because before he came back on the app, formerly known as Twitter, called X, people were saying like, does anyone really care about AJ Styles anymore? So it was such a downturn on AJ on social media. But him coming back, looking jacked to the gills, looking beefy, eating them TKO spinach. Is the wellness policy ended? We don't know. Allegedly, reportedly, we'll never know. I don't know. But he's looking jacked. Every wrestler coming out looking jacked. Rowan or Ivar, was it Ivar? What's the other one from Viking Raiders? The bolder-headed one.
Eric,
the pressure's on you to come back jacked as well, because it's kind of like a thing. You go away for a bit and you come back jacked to the girls and ready to fight. But yeah, I'm excited about where Hill AJ goes. That means Hill OC, maybe Hill Meechin. They all got gripes. They always sit at catering doing nothing. They're underappreciated. Maybe their turn to take over. Maybe they're going to replace what Street Hurt Business, Street Profit, Street Business were meant to be, because Street Business are over like baby faces. So maybe they might do some course correction. Kind of like OC, you be Hills, Street Business, your baby faces, maybe.
See, for me,
yes, sir.
I agree with all of that. Like, I think I want to be clear about this. This is a good idea. I like AJ coming back and turning heel. I think it's a very good idea. I think there's a lack of top heels that aren't Roman Reigns right now on SmackDown. So I think this is a really good idea to kind of give another, like, what can be a top name if you build him back up right on SmackDown, a fresh coat of paint with the heel turn. I think that's a great plan. I just thought the execution of this particular angle wasn't great. It left you not like, oh my god, AJ's back. It was like, AJ's back. Okay, moving on. Here's Bloodline and Randy Orton again. It's like, wait, let's focus on the AJ for now. It felt like a footnote at the end of this show, which is very strange.
Did you want to do a thing where the camera follows him and it ends with him standing on stage staring menacingly and the camera's...
Just something where like all of the Bloodline and Orton at night are looking at AJ being like, what the... And then, like, the show ends. Like, the focus wasn't on AJ at the end.
I agree with that.
Orton's music was playing. It was like, wait, why are we doing this stuff again over here? Well, AJ's just gone, you know?
It was formatted weird. But also, another positive to add with the whole AJ Styles heel turn means if they do inevitably do a fatal four-way at the Royal Rumble, you got two heels against two babyfaces, not three babyfaces gunning for Roman, which is what we initially thought was going to happen when AJ came back. But now you got two heels, you know? They're trying to establish that... I think they're trying to establish different blood feuds. Kind of like Randy's got history with Roman. LA Knight's got history with Roman. But compared to all the previous people that Roman's faced, his gripe is not as strong, if that makes sense. I don't want to lie.
He had a match at last.
not to be horrible to him, even though he did well in that match, but it's kind of like everyone's got like a blood of reason to hate Roman. And then it's like, dude, you just started, man. What are you crying about? You might get another opportunity, which is a sad thing to do to a guy. Don't dismiss anyone's opportunity. But with AJ's beef now with him, it's kind of like, oh, everyone's got beef with each other. And then, you know, AJ and Randy can dredge up their history. And they look like Randy was happy. Look at you. You've been working out like me. Oh my gosh, this is great. Or you're turning heel. But yeah, I feel like they're trying to add more nuance to, because we're going to January, right? We're still what? Today is the 16th of December. So you need to create some sort of intrigue. If the intrigue is, I hate Roman too. Roman took me up. Solo hit me in my throat. Mine too. My throat is sore. It'd be like, you need, because Roman's going to disappear again. So you need someone for them to hate on. And that'll be AJ and OC maybe. And OC and Bloodline creating a weird, if they do that. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, then it'll be like the Bloodline, the Judgment Day teaming up again. That'd be weird. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like that idea. If they do a Fatal 4-Way, I like the idea of having two heels, two baby faces. And I like the idea of them, because they were teasing a little bit of dissension on this show, as we'll talk about later, a bit of dissension between Orton and Knight as well. Mm. A little bit of like, stay out of my way. And Knight was like, no, but I'm in your way. And Orton's like, no, get out of my way, etc. So they're already teasing a little bit of tension between the babyfaces as well, as is. So I think if they're going to start like having this kind of everybody hates each other kind of dynamic, that's cool. I'm into that. I just want it, just didn't stick on this one. They didn't stick the landing, which I wanted them to, because I love seeing AJ Styles wrestle. I think he's awesome, and I'm really glad to see him back. Excited to see where this goes. I think it was good, just not as good as it could have been, which is very unfortunate.
Yes.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
But let's get into the rest of the show, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Let's see what led up to this. Because, as mentioned, Paul, this was the return of Roman Reigns to SmackDown. What does Roman have in store for us? Not a lot.
Before you continue, is there like a Guinness World Record on how much a person can return to a show?
I mean, he's got it. If that is it.
I think it comes to a point, it's become like a meme. You just save that picture and you say, Roman has come back next week.
Roman returns.
Back. He returns a lot, doesn't he? It's between him and CM Punk about who returns the most.
Right? So Roman Reigns comes out. usual Roman Reigns fare, usual Roman Reigns entrance. Comes out, says acknowledge me, and he was building up to say that, like, you know, when people are doing bad, we beat them up. But when people are doing well, we wanna give people their flowers when they're doing well. And I want to hype up the person who will be the next tribal chief. God forbid if anything happened to me, this be the next guy to take over. And Jimmy Uso behind him is like, yeah, that's me, you know, whatever. And then he said, it's Solo Sikoa. And Jimmy was like, wait, what? And then he says, Jimmy, join me in appreciating Solo Sikoa.
That was funny, no. Because Jimmy was getting prepared. Proper like, oh my gosh, it's my time. He's noticed me. Took off his jacket. Jimmy, he came forward. Join me in celebrating your brother Solo Sikoa. Like, what? Sitcom character Jimmy is. Jim Uso.
Yeah. Which I don't think works. I don't like this Jimmy character.
I love Jimmy Uso. No yeet.
That was very funny. Like I think Jimmy Uso is objectively funny. Like, all the stuff he does is very funny. I just don't think it works for this thing that we got. Like, why would Roman ever say that Jimmy was going to be the next tribal chief? I mean, like, I know we're supposed to think that Jimmy's deluded, but in my head,
he's deluded.
This felt like they were setting up that we were also supposed to think that he was going to say Jimmy. And it was like,
No.
Why would he ever?
I don't think, no. I don't think it was set up for us to think that. We know that. It's to show that Jimmy is still in Jimmy DeLulu land.
Maybe,
Jimmy is a jock. You know, you heard Jey Uso say it. He's the angsty one because he's next to Mr. Perfect, Jimmy Uso. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy Uso's privilege. So it makes sense that he doesn't have any angst. He's kind of like, I'm great. You know, I'm married to Naomi. You know, I was tag team champions once. I might be tribal chief. So he has everything great. It was Jey that was inferior. He doesn't have any inferiority complex. He's always had everything handed to him.
Yeah.
So that's why he kind of hated Roman. It's kind of like, hey, I'm in the Uso land, I'm king. And then I'm in your land and you're king. And I'm not used to sharing the spotlight. Mm-hmm. So he's just as, you know, egotistical as Roman. I think that's the whole thing is meant to explain. It's kind of like, this is why he had issue with Roman and Jey fell in, because Jey falls in line with whatever older sibling or older statesman's there. Jey was a follower. Jimmy liked to be a leader of the tag team, leader of whatever. So it kind of makes sense in his character that he doesn't have the angst of Jey. It's just that my issue, or I'm kind of used to it, but the issue is his credibility as a solo star because he loses.
I think it's fascinating to look at the difference between Jey and Jimmy Uso right now.
Yeah.
Because they both lose a lot. But Jey Uso is main event guy. Jey Uso's a star. Jimmy Uso loses and feels like a complete joke. I'm just saying, this packaging ain't working, fam, is what I'm trying to say. Randy Orton then came out in this segment.
Yes.
And they cut to an ad break. Lol. And then Randy comes down, does a promo, challenges Roman for the Royal Rumble, nearly hits him with an RKO, but doesn't. Gives him a little tease of what could happen. And then says, Daddy's home, and then leaves. That's fine.
There was nuances there. Because while that, what Roman said, Roman went, you've been gone for 18 months. That means you're in the back of the line. You haven't done anything to earn it.
Yeah.
I like that, because Roman was trying to get into Randy's head. It was the return of the manipulative Roman Reigns character that we all love and hold dear to our hearts. He went to him, he's like, Randy, listen to the voices in your head. It's warning you. Don't get in the ring with me. Don't mess with me. And then it was good. And then Randy's like, you've done well for yourself, you know, since I've been gone. You might elevate yourself to legend status. But one thing that doesn't change is, I'm the legend killer. All that kind of stuff. So there are nuances in exchange, which I appreciated. It showed that, you know, Roman Reigns is great on the microphone as he's ever been. And, you know, Randy Orton is motivated, because Randy Orton's one of those guys where when he's unmotivated, you see it in his work in the ring and on promos.
Absolutely.
But because he's been gone for 18 months, he's still stuck on that high of like, I'm back at work. I'm jacked to the gills. I am enjoying myself. So motivated Randy is the best version of Randy, and that's what we're getting right now. So yeah, the exchange was good. If you ever watch SmackDown year and you're based on our review, watch that exchange. It was really good. Especially when he goes, and Randy goes, oh, I can hear the voices in my head, and people chuckled. Roman, you crapped your pants. And I was like, oh, that's a bit of a... Vince would love that, because Vince loved humor with his baby faces. That was very much like almost like a Vince promo, but it wasn't. But it's like, remember what Cena needs to do, crappy pants, you know, juvenile humor. But yeah, Randy did well on that.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. we then get to the next bit. I really appreciated all this stuff on this show that was about the US title tournament because I thought it was all really good. We had a video package for Carmelo Hayes, and then he debuted in his match against Grayson Waller. And we also had a Logan Paul video promo in the corner, which I thought was a really effective way to keep his involvement while not having him on the show, keep him his face around, keep his plate spinning while he's there, which I thought was really, really effective. The video package was also great for Carmelo Hayes. Really appreciated that. And then they had a really good match. I really liked this. Oh, this was great. I feel like they hit a lot of high spots. They got enough time. There's a lot of near falls. It was all really, really good. I feel like there was, if I'm going to nitpick, which I do, there's just something missing from this. I'm not quite sure what it was. There was something that just like a little something. There was a little spark missing, a little connection, a little psychology, something that just wasn't quite there. But having said that, still had a very good time. This was a very good match. And Grayson Waller hit what I think was a super overdrive destroyer.
It was super overdrive.
It's a super overdrive destroyer as well, because he landed on his head. The only person in history to make the overdrive look good is Grayson Waller.
An Elix Skipper in WCW. There's a clip. You can find it, guys. Google's your friend. No, it is. Elix Skipper does it in a way it makes your head spin like a Beyblade. It's fast. Like, yeah. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't.
Dude, he makes gravity look like it's not a thing. The cage thing's great, he did an overdrive where he put his leg over and he spun, the rest is spinning. It's kind of like, oh, an overdrive can do that as well. It's not like you put your leg over and then you fall to your knee. Literally, he went, it looked like a net breaker. You have to look it up. Look up Elix Skipper overdrive, type in WCW if it helps on Google. Google your friend and you'll find it. If not, some social media. But yeah, super overdrive. It was lovely.
It was really nice. And it set the trend of people doing moves we don't expect, because that also happened later on as well. This is really good. And Carmelo Hayes got the win clean, which I really liked. It's nice to put the new guy on track when he comes to SmackDown, which is great. Really liked all of this. Thumbs up all around.
I really liked the match. And also, we were talking in the office. Grayson Waller's shorts again. Shorts.
They're getting really short.
I love it. No, because guys, if you've been following Grayson Waller's career, if you haven't, his NXT days, he used to have baggy boxing shorts. And I used to hate him in the beginning because it looked bigger than him. I think that's what I hated about it. It's more shorts than human in the beginning. And then it been progressing, getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And I love the short shorts. It's a good look on him. Yeah.
The hot pants.
Yeah. You got a little Philly stuff, the hot pants. But yeah, Carmelo Hayes, for a lot of people that didn't see him before, this was a great coming out party for him. The fact that means he's coming back next week. I don't expect him to win past KO, but I do hope that the showing is good enough to earn him a spot on the main roster, because it's ridiculous that this guy is still slumming in NXT. Him and Bron Breakker, I feel like they the more time they spend in NXT, the more it takes away from their potential.
Yeah, I agree. We then had a backstage promo with Randy Orton and LA Knight, where, as I mentioned before, there was the little tension brewing where Randy was walking through, LA Knight was like, hey man, me and you both know how these numbers work. Like, Bloodline's going to attack you, but you know, if you ever need help, you know where I am. Randy's like, hey, look, man, we got a win last week in a tag match. That's great and all. And we're on good terms right now. So I really recommend that we keep it that way, by you staying out of my way, because I don't need you. Ooh. And Knight was like, okay, but just so you know how the numbers work. And you ain't going to take that spot away from Roman, because it's going to be me, LA Knight.
Yeah.
So a little bit of tension there. Then we had the next US title round one tournament match. Kevin Owens versus Austin Theory. Best match of the night. And I was pleasantly surprised in this one, because I really feel like they stacked the deck against Kevin Owens in this match and set everything up to make you believe that Austin Theory was going to win. Because not only did Grayson Waller lose, so you might think that maybe Austin Theory, one of the tag team, might get a win in this one to continue their little tag run. Grayson Waller can be involved in the tournament via Austin Theory later. Also, Carmelo Hayes had just won. So you go, well, if they're going to do babyface heel in the next round, the heel's got a win here. So Austin Theory's probably going to beat KO. KO's got a broken hand, which they're making a massive deal out of. He's got a cast on. So they already are making reasons as to why KO can lose and still not look terrible to losing to Austin Theory. So I was like, wow, this really stacking the deck against KO here. So I was like, well, Austin Theory's probably going to win via shenanigans. Sure, whatever. Turns out it was just a great match, and KO just won. It was great. Really liked it.
You hear what you said? You set up to tell me. For me, what you just said was, here's all the obstacles that KO is going to overcome. Because they always telegraph. They never tell you, hey, he's the favorite to win and win. They always tell you he might not win. Here's the obstacle and blah, blah. But yeah, KO won. They had great chemistry together. My goodness, I would watch them in a 20-minute match. It seemed like Theory, they granted him the permission to use his full movesets. Because this is the Austin Theory we know from Evolve. This is the Austin Theory we know from the early days of NXT. He's got more in his arsenal because recently he's been wrestling these boring, basic matches because someone probably told him, tone it down, kid. Don't show everything in your bag of tricks. Just do a TV-style match. Mm-hmm. But in this match, yeah, between him and KO, like, they went back and forth. And it was great because they're both athletic guys as well. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it. And Austin Theory looked good in defeat, especially when KO decides to punch him with the cast in the face.
Yeah, and there was a really cool spot where KO was sitting on the top turnbuckle. Mm. Theory went up and like went into a seated position off the top rope, like running from the mat, leapt up into a seated position on the top rope, bounced off and did a seated Spanish fly onto KO. It's like, oh, wow, cool. What a spot. That's really fun. And it's just unexpected. There's a couple moves like that as well, where he did like kind of hook the leg and did the suplex onto the apron, where KO just fell splat, flat on his back. Ow. And it looked like Theory was going to get the win, because they did the big KO comeback. KO hit a swanton, a near fall, and then Theory started attacking the hand, and I was like, okay, here's the finish. Because he got his hand, stamping on it, threw it against the ring post, stamped on it on the steps, and I was like, okay, that's how he's going to get the win. Went for the A-Town Down, but KO just countered it, pushed him against the ropes, and then whacked him in the head with a cast, and then went, oh yeah, that's a weapon, and then pinned him. Yeah. And KO wins, and I was like, nice. That was a really fun match. I liked everything that went into this, and it means that we're going to get KO versus Carmelo Hayes next week, or whenever it is in 2 weeks, which sounds great. I'm all for that. So yeah, good stuff.
That for me also telegraphed to me, if it is potentially Lashley in the finals with KO, KO's just going to punch him in the head with a cast to win. Mm. I mean, that's what it feels like. But yeah, you said about the seated Spanish fly. I just, I'll be remiss this if I didn't say it, because someone in the comment section was going to do that. Austin Theory used to do that a lot in his early days, but he hasn't done it in a while. Yeah. He wrestles like AR Fox. That's what it was, the big thing. I remember when he first debuted, and at the time AR Fox wasn't in AEW, and I used to feel sorry. Oh, AR Fox deserves more. But Austin Theory very much is his teacher's student. He does a lot of good moves in there, and I'm happy to see that. As much as I'm not a huge Austin Theory fan, I do feel like his in-ring work was, or is appearing again, to be good. Because for a while, it was boring. It was like one note and generic. I'm like, what happened to your cool movesets? And now we're seeing it again. It's like, yay, this just needs better character. Because at the moment, they're using Grayson Waller's personality to rub off him, because I'm not an idiot. It's kind of like, you're so charismatic, you just stand there and look good. And then it's kind of like what they did with Miz Morrison and the New Age Outlaws. You've got the charismatic guys talking the microphone. Enzo Amore and Big Cass, I guess, to a degree as well. Big loud mouth, you just look good.
And The Shield.
And then you got Dean Ambrose for the other two guys.
Yep.
You know, like, especially for Roman in the early days.
Roman in the early days.
Believe that.
And he was good at that. That's all he needed to do was just stand there and just be like, I'm going to tell you where it's an F.
Nah,
like, oh, great.
You say that, but now that people are saying the same thing about Solo. Like, because Solo talked a lot more in NXT. Solo can cut a promo. If you never watch NXT, you wouldn't know it, because they just tell him to do one word. I'm your brother.
Yeah, which is fine. He's good at it. Roman Reigns and the Bloodline are backstage. Roman saying that, Matt, someone really needs to shut up Orton. He ruined my celebration. And Jimmy very pointedly says, well, sounds like it's a job for the tribal heir over here. Talking about Solo Sikoa. And Reigns says, nah, we'll give this to you. Think of how much, you know, it's promotion season. He kept saying that. It's promotion season. Think of how much in better standing you're going to be if you beat Orton for me, kind of thing.
Manipulation,
which is good. I think this segment would have been better had they not already announced Orton versus Jimmy at the start of the show. But it was good.
Yeet.
Yeah, he came in and he was like, yeah, I got this, don't you worry. Yeet. And then Roman just kind of looked at him and Jimmy stared at each other for a second and just went, no yeet.
No, but I like how Jimmy says yeet. His yeet is more subtle. It's how Jay used to say, because he used to be like, yeah, yeet. It's like a cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now when Jay says cool, it's kind of like, that's how it's translated. Cool. It's yeet. That's what it is. Yeet.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but not yeet.
Yeah.
Yeet, yeet, yeet. Next up is your favorite, is a vignette by someone. TikTok.
Karrion Kross did a video promo again. I just, Who could possibly care?
Right. I'm going to pump up the volume a bit for Karrion Kross because, you know, everyone deserves equal standing here. So the reason I say that is, funny enough, last week, me and Tempest talked about how, you know, Karrion Kross lost against Bobby Lashley. Mm-hmm. What's Karrion Kross going to do? More wrestlers are coming back. It seems like his standing is lowering. I kept saying, like, WrestleMania season, it's kind of like Triple H goes around the roster, you know. You. You're getting pushes for Rumble season and WrestleMania season. The rest of y'all, backlash time, we revisit things. So until then, I'm sorry, I got nothing for you. So I said that Karrion Kross will probably potentially get a push after WrestleMania season because there's so much going on right now. You can't retool him for 10,000th time and trying to figure him into the picture, which they are trying to do. At best, he is a Andre the Giant Memorial Battle contestant. At best. So he has to sell for SmackDown. At best. But they did a promo. But unfortunately, like you said, it's reached that Bray Wyatt territory of like spooky promos and no follow-up. Fart, but no poo. You know, nothing following up. So he is someone that they need to retool. But people on social media go excited because it seemed like he's doing a forewarning, foreshadowing. Someone like him, I said to Tempest, he needs a group because you've done the thing with him and Scarlett for ages. By changing a change of scenery, a change of anything is better than what we've been seeing. Mm-hmm. Another promo, no follow-up, right? Someone saying AOP with Karrion Kross. Authors of Pain.
I'm into that. That's a good idea. I like that. I think that'd be a very welcome change to his presentation. I'll be excited when it happens. I'm not excited now.
Of course not.
Because he's just said, well, things are going to change. I'm like, oh yeah, like last time and the time before Karrion. So like, nothing's changed.
But
so,
Karrion did say he's a catalyst for people's heel turn. Think about this.
Sure. No.
Nakamura, Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles. Yes.
I'm not entertaining this theory.
You feud with Karrion Kross. You turn heel eventually.
I refuse.
He said in the beginning, he goes, I change people. You can step in the ring with me, something inside you. I take something from you. He did. Drew turned heel. Nakamura's heel. Styles turned heel. What did all three have in common? They're all feuded with Karrion Kross.
I refuse to participate in this fan theory because it is wrong.
And then the other guy, Riddick Moss got fired.
Yeah.
Bad things happen when you feud with Karrion Kross.
Yeah.
You come out as a chain. He turned heel as well. He did turn heel before he got fired. Riddick Moss, he became cocky and arrogant. They didn't go far because he got rid. Yeah, he did. Him and Emma were just a bit, they're just obnoxious. Dude, go back.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He did. He
I became have more, no memory of this.
He displayed a more aggressive side to himself. He became more cocky. I'm not going to care about the fans anymore.
So he didn't turn heel. He was just a bit more arrogant.
Yeah, that's a heel turn. No, it's not. This ain't an attitude error. This is not anti-heroes. We don't do anti-heroes. Babyface and heels. He was turning heel.
Sure.
I could find the clip.
Anyway, backstage, Cameron Grimes said congratulations to Kevin Owens. And then Kevin Owens and Carmelo Hayes share a little promo time together ahead of their match, which was great. Love Hayes being like, look, I respect you, but I need this more than you, so back off. Very nice. Very, very simple. Very great. Really enjoyed it. We then had a much better video promo than the one for Karrion Kross, which was the damage control video promo. Bayley kind of outlined her plan to win the Royal Rumble, to challenge Rhea Ripley and gain her title at WrestleMania. And she kind of put over everybody in damage control and being like, Ia was amazing. I always knew she was going to be world title material. I knew that she was destined to win Money in the Bank and win the singles title. It's amazing. Kabuki Warriors, we got them at our side now. We're going to be amazing. And also Dakota Kai's here, but she's injured right now, whatever. But, you know, they're all kind of on the same page. Yeah, we're great kind of thing. There was one little line, though, that I really liked, which was Dakota Kai coming in and just being like, yeah, we're ready to run WWE or whatever it was that she said. And Bayley just goes, spoken like a true mastermind. And the camera cuts to Dakota Kai's expression where she's just like, eh? And then it cuts back to Bayley again. And I'm like, oh, I think she is the mastermind, but maybe not in the way that Bayley thinks she is. Maybe she's something different. And I think it might be very interesting if Bayley does win the Rumble and challenges Io Sky instead.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
I liked it because it was like a mission statement. Bayley saying like how, you know, it's come to fruition what she started. Io is now women's champion. Money in the Bank's women's champion. The Kabuki Warriors, she said it like the Kabuki Warriors are going to challenge for the tag titles eventually, which is great because the tag titles need more people.
Sure,
when Alba Fire and Isla Dawn finally figure out, you know, how to get out of this room or forest they're in, they can transfer the title too. Yeah. It's like a mission statement that they want to do women's division domination. Because Bayley goes, I'm going to win Royal Rumble and challenge Rhea Ripley. And we're all champions. We're all tag champions, world champion this year, world champion that year. And I was like, yeah, that's a great mission statement. Mm-hmm. But like we said in the office, they subtly dig at Bayley. The interesting would be to see Bayley go, I'm going to use this opportunity to challenge Io. But I do feel like it's not going to come out of the blue. I do feel like it'll be a case of like damage control will probably disrespect it to the point where she's like, all right, I'm going to challenge you for the title.
Because that's the thing. I'd really like Bayley to not be an idiot. Like, I get that, like, you know, that it might be that they're doing subtle digs at her and she's trying her best to just try and fit in and all that stuff. But I'd like it to reach a point where she realizes, oh, they're going to turn on me. Like, it's only a matter of time before they do. So I'm going to turn on them before they turn on me. And I'm going to challenge Io for WrestleMania instead of Rhea. Like, I think that's fun.
I said to Tempest, the Bayley story is that she's burnt bridges with so many people in the women's division. That's why she's kind of like stuck it out with damage control. Because she kind of feels like, oh, man, I created this mess. Like, I have to clean it up in a way. Because she, you always see her face. She always looks worried. She always feels like she's left out of things. And yeah, Dakota Kai is indeed a mastermind. When her foot is, you know, healed up or whatever it is. Even before that, she's gonna lay down a hammer. It's Dakota Kai's MO since NXT. She always turns on people that she's associated with. She did it to Tegan, she did it to Raquel, she would do it to Bayley, and I can't wait for it to happen. And now that Bayley stated that she wants to win the Rumble, I hope it is Io and Bayley at WrestleMania. Potentially we might get a Sasha Banks return. She might be the catalyst to get Bayley to see sense that, you know what, I do have friends outside of this group. I'm not going to be emotionally abused anymore. I'm going to stand up for myself. And yay,
I think that'd be cool. What if we got a Banks return in the Rumble?
That's
like,
what I'm thinking.
Maybe they turn on Bayley before the Rumble. Bayley goes in with like no friends, and then it's like it reaches, there's like a standoff where it's like Asuka and Kyrie standing off against Bayley, and then Sasha Banks comes out at like number 30 in the Rumble, and everyone goes, oh, and then it's like Bayley and Sasha against those two kind of thing.
Oh, I can see them doing the whole thing where she's torn about allegiances.
Yeah.
If she doesn't, if the turn doesn't happen,
if they don't turn on her,
it's kind of like, and they're like, turn on your best friend. You've done it before.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've developed a conscience the last few months. I don't want to do it. And then they turn on her or whatever. I do feel like if Sasha does come back, they'll figure it in that way. But then again, it's kind of like when Sasha Banks does come back, potentially. I know we're veering off the topic. We're just talking about potentially happening. What do you do with Sasha? Let us know in the comments what you do with Sasha for WrestleMania, potentially. Do you involve her in a damage control storyline? If you do, do you want her in a title match as well? But Bayley's never had a singles title match at WrestleMania. Do you want to see that? Comments below, please.
We then had, speaking of damage control, we had the Kabuki Warriors taking on Zelina Vega and Meechin, which was fine. It was a bit unfortunate. This match had essentially no crowd heat at all, which is a shame. But I thought it was fine for what it was.
Yes.
I was surprised at how much of a fight Vega and Meechin put up here, because I would have thought the Kabuki Warriors would have kind of just won this match. From how Vega and Meechin have been presented in the past, I would have thought that they'd have just got the win here. Maybe, you know, a bit of offense from Vega and Meechin, but then Kabuki Warriors get the win. But they look like they actually could have won. Kabuki Warriors only got the win via double distraction. Dakota Kai on one side, distracting the ref. Bayley comes out and chucks Meechin off the top rope, allowing them to get the win. They did the insane elbow and all that stuff. I think because of the focus of the division is on damage control right now, I think I probably would have preferred Kabuki Warriors to just win clean here.
Really?
But I get what they're doing with the Bayley interference. I know they're telling a grander story, but it just doesn't make Kabuki Warriors look very good that they can't beat Vega and Meechin by themselves. You know what I mean?
I know, but it's one of the things where you can forgive them because they're heels, but at the same time, you kind of further discredit Meechin and Zelina. For example, the eight women tag that's happening next week, you'd care less about it because you'll call it Bianca and jobbers. You need to create some sort of credibility. In their mind, they think we have to make them look credible.
Which I get, but I think that they're not the focus right now. Damage control is.
It is, but you don't want it to be one-sided because unfortunately, because of Charlotte is out for the foreseeable future, the women's division, babyface division are so second tier.
Yeah.
That is almost, I don't want to say almost laughable, but it goes to show you the lack of depth of or building up. Shotzi's the only one in that crop they've did anything with. Zelina early in the year, you know, they build her up as a baby face, but it's like they haven't done really much with them. It's their last-ditch effort to give them some sort of credence, credibility for the eight-person tag. So you're not like, why is Damage Control not, why, you know, this team of, this hodgepodge of women with Bianca, you know, never teamed up before, blah, blah, blah. Why not win in 2 minutes? They have to seem like they have credibility and don't overlook them. Don't do what Kabuki Warriors did. That's why they nearly lost, because they were overly cocky. It was the cockiness that got the best of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Gosh!
But Kabuki Warriors did get the win in the end via double distraction.
They had an old song back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, it was a flashback to the pandemic.
Yeah, it was. God, yeah. We then had Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa backstage, where Jimmy says, like, look, Roman and Paul have been talking for ages, and I don't like it. This doesn't feel very good. I mean, I'm going to be honest. This feels like a setup. And he says, Solo, you'd tell me, wouldn't you? If this was a setup, you'd tell me if something was going to happen to me, wouldn't you? And Solo just turns him and just goes, I'm your brother. And then just flexes his hand.
What does that
mean?
And
that's it. That's the whole segment.
What does that even mean? Ask Jay, I'm your brother. What does that even mean?
Yeah, right? So it feels like, yeah, Jimmy's not welcome, which why would he be? He turned on Roman. Roman, don't forget. But yeah. Then that leads into, we had, just before the main event, we had a couple of dueling promos from Santos Escobar and Bobby Lashley.
Yes.
One was a pre-recorded one for Santos, and one was backstage with Bobby Lashley. Both very good. Both built their match. Thumbs up. Again, more focus built on the US title. Love it.
It was
good.
It was the best dressed promo of the night. Both of them, right? They looked so suave.
They looked great. Yeah, I thought it was really good. And then we had the main event that we spoke about earlier with Randy Orton versus Jimmy Uso and AJ Styles' return and turning heel? So overall, I thought this was a fine episode. I thought the wrestling and the stuff around the US title was really good.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. A lot more focus on the US title, which is always welcome. Mm-hmm. And I like the direction they're going with that. The rest of it was okay.
It wasn't offensive, right?
No,
it wasn't.
There was nothing bad on this show. Everything was either all right or better. And that's good.
Yeah,
I would say this is like a solid 3 out of 5 show.
I do like there's a furry line on the show with Damage Control and the tag match, and now there's an 8 women's tag match next week. There's like a payoff to this mini feud that's happening before the Royal Rumble. So I do appreciate that. Even though SmackDown usually have like one women match per show.
Yeah.
I get it, they're not Raw. Raw has, you know, 3 hours, so they can fit in probably a couple. So I acknowledge that. But at least they're doing something with the other two women. Like you said, because they haven't been focused as much, the crowd kind of, you know, it's felt by the crowd, it's felt by your stance on things. Like, hey, they should lose in 2 seconds. You don't see them often. But yeah, I'm happy they're doing something with the women. And Damage Control seems even more unified than before. They're doing that thing where Damage Control's okay thing, where Bayley, even though they set up to let you know, Bayley, they're going to turn on her, but it's not January yet, so we're not going to blow the load quick. So we're going to do a slow slow burn build to Bayley turning into a baby face. So they're doing the thing of restoring her credibility, because as a heel, she became so rubbish, she was losing all the time. Mm-hmm. So now they're doing the thing of that, she's turning back into a baby face, she has to seem efficient. So that way we can get behind Bayley. A competent Bayley is a fine Bayley, is a good Bayley.
Agreed, yeah. Yeah, I thought this was like 3 out of 5 show. Was what it was.
It was what it was.
Nothing special, but like a solid episode. I feel like even with AJ coming back and turning heel, I feel like we're still in a little bit of a holding pattern until we get to the next chapter of the story when we hit January.
January.
When we get to the Rumble, the proper Rumble build and the Rumble itself. I think that is going to be the next chapter of a lot of these stories. The next Damage Control chapter is going to be happening there. The next Bloodline chapter is going to be happening there. We're going to be finding out who wins the Rumble. So that'll be like the WrestleMania chapter begins. There's a lot of stuff that we're just kind of, I think we're just kind of waiting for to get to January.
I'm just... fantasy booking. I envision it with all this rumor about WWE being interested in Julia. I wonder if in Triple H's mind he wants to do Julia versus Sasha Banks thing.
That'd be rad.
Have Julia usurp Bayley as a member of Damage Control. Like, that's the full plan they're waiting for to do. And then you have Sasha back there, and then because it will give a marquee match for Julia and Sasha. Even though who wins is up to you guys. It's a coin flip.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna be upset regardless. But yeah, if they can do that is what we allegedly think. That's where they want to go with Damage Control. Have Mo Joshi's in there, and because Dakota used to wrestle in Stardom, she's Joshi adjacent.
Yeah,
she is the English spokesperson for the group as person. So I can kind of see that could be the vision that probably Triple H has for the group, and Bailey and Sasha can be a team again and fight them, yada, yada, yada.
The boss and hug connection.
2.0, or the, you know, the boss and role model connection. And also, if Kabuki would win the tag titles, revisit it again, baby. Put the titles on the line again with the crowd there with the boss and model connection, role model. She's the role model now. She's not going to be a hugger anymore. You can't go backwards. You have to go forward. If anything, just put lyrics to a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything works.
Anything.
But that's it, I think, for the show. We don't have any Patreon shout-outs.
We don't.
We're all done for the month, I think. So
I'm thankful for you for coming. No, thank you very much to Pete Quinnell. This is day off. He didn't have to answer any calls to come down and do the show, but he did, and he's here. So I want to say thank you very much to Pete. He's a guy that I always talk to, you know, about stuff, troubleshooting things or whatever, or doing the news. I appreciate everything you do. I wrestle talk. I appreciate everything you've done for me since I've been doing the Saturdays. And yeah, I appreciate you, man. I want to say on camera, thank you very much. You know, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. And I look forward to more wrestle talk taking over the globe, taking over the universe. 30 days again.
Well, a Merry Christmas to you, Seth. Watch out for the set.
My hand's too big for this.
It sure is, yeah. We will not be back next week because there won't be any coverage next week because it's close to Christmas, so we're not doing it. Nor will there be one the week after because that is like right next to New Year, so we're not going to be back for that Saturday. But the Saturday after, when we're into January, then we'll be back with normal Saturdays.
Well, I'm off for 2 weeks, yeah?
Yeah. So,
you know, I'm off for 2 weeks, guys.
There you go.
It's every Saturday in the new year.
Yeah.
But until then, watch all our other videos, you know? We have so many.
My God, we have so many great videos coming up because we've got the, on the rest of our podcast channel, we've got all the end of year award stuff. So we've got all the stuff that's been voted on by us, by the extended WrestleTalk universe, by our Patreon backers, moderators, website writers, all of them, to do like best matches of the year, worst match of the year, best pay-per-views, worst pay-per-views, wrestler of the year. It's really fun. And we've got Ollie and Luke's 2024 Wild Predictions video as well, which is always fun. And they go back and look at their 2023 predictions. So much content coming up. So please do subscribe. Like the video while you're here. Why not? Leave us a comment about what you think, the question that you gave them. What would you do with Sasha Banks when she came back at WrestleMania? What would you do with Bayley, etc.?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know in the comments. And we'll see you for more content soon. Thank you so much. Jam that jam.
Happy 2023.
That one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.